This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the Eastern Seaboard of the United States. Today, U.S. government doubles down on Huawei. Supply chain hacking revisited. Verizon barely beats T-Mobile. Verizon is cutting 7% of its staff. Those stories and more. I want to welcome you to episode 1341 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 24th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all our new listeners and, of course, all of our longtime Ohana members. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. If you're brand new to the show, why don't you take some time and visit geeknewscentral.com, which over on the website. Get subscribed to the show. It's real easy to do on the website. You can subscribe to the newsletter when you're there as well. That will keep you in connection or keep you connected to me here with the show, with you getting the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. Of course, you can listen to the show on blueberry.com or on your smart home device as well by using the keyword to activate the device and play the podcast or say the words, play the podcast, Geek News Central. When I'm in Hawaii, we are live at live.geeknewscentral.com and also on Facebook, but this is an audio-only show. But that doesn't mean you can't stay engaged. Get connected with our chat room at geeknews.chat or join our Slack channel. If you want to join that, you can contact me via email as well as sending emails about the show to geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at geeknews or follow me on Facebook by searching for my name. Partner shows include The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, Podcast Legends, The GNC Week in Review, and of course, all those shows can be found at geeknewscentral.com. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, we want to thank the longest-running continuous sponsor of our podcast as our good friends over at GoDaddy. You can find great deals at GoDaddy by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be 30% off new product purchases, a 99-cent.com, or $2.49 per month, managed WordPress hosting or regular standard hosting account, including a free domain that goes along with that deal, get you started for the first year. This is a great deal, great value. Of course, if you're a business owner, you can look at the website builder that's available as well. That's an option for you as well to pick it up and get it set up on a website. Again, all my promo codes can be used one way or another at GoDaddy. That 30% off discount code is a great one to use, but those hosting deals remain pretty prime and a great value. So definitely check it all out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, I want to give everyone, again, a warm welcome. I want to apologize for no show on Monday. I was really pretty much under the weather. I think the travel, the cold, the insanity of the weather kind of caught up with me. And I was just pretty much face down all day Monday. So I apologize on no show. But the you know, the cold weather takes a bit to get adapted to. It's pretty hard to take a person that's lived for 21 years in Hawaii and stick him in the middle of an ice cube, and that's what it's been. Of course, it's warmed up a little bit today. We'll see how long that lasts. But I'm having a good trip, although I've had some travel challenges. Just be like everyone else with the, you know, dealing with the weather and these storms that have rolled through. But the trip so far has been going really good. I've had lots of great meetings. And more importantly, the new media show will be back in the saddle on Saturday. Rob Greenlee and I will be putting out a new media show. So we're kind of getting back into the battle rhythm of things. But yeah, just it's just been a, you know, pretty crazy trip so far. And that's just kind of the way it, the way this had been planned, and the way it's going. But that kind of gets you caught up on what's happening here. I got a great lineup of content tonight. I do want to thank Kirk for putting the show together. And I picked up a couple additional articles as well. But don't forget about Kirk's GNC Week in Review. Get subscribed to that. And, of course, the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain be reviewing the Pro Gear site as well. And, of course, the New Media Show will be back in action. So don't forget about those shows. And they're all available, again, at geeknewscentral.com. I think that's all I got at my little short list of show notes. I did open up the podcast awards registration for 2019 for the 14th annual. We opened that up, I believe, on Friday or Saturday of last week. Got that up and running, and we're actually starting to see a pretty good trickle of shows registering to participate in this year's annual event. So we're looking forward to that. So, you know, I've been head down, largely looking at the, you know, working in the podcasting space here for the past couple of weeks, and haven't really been following the tech news a lot, and really been trying to stay away as much as possible from the toxicity of the national news. One thing that's definitely different from, you know, living in Hawaii, you're kind of like, you're isolated a lot more from, you know, what happens here in the lower 48. And having been in around the D.C. area and, of course, on the East Coast, there's definitely a high concentration of federal workers. So, you know, what little news I have, I guess for a better word, been forced to see, maybe at breakfast or, you know, in meetings where TV or in waiting rooms and that type of thing where TVs have been on, it's pretty much for, you know, the forefront of conversation going on. And definitely when I'm in Hawaii, I don't really get that type of exposure, I guess, for a better word. But, you know, I saw something tonight. Looks like maybe things are going to start progressing here and them coming up with a deal. Who knows? I think it's best people talk instead of posturing all the time. But that's the world we live in today. So that said, I don't want to turn this into a political show. Wow, sneezed. Haven't sneezed all day. And then I sneeze on you right here at the beginning of the show. So I want to start out with a Wall Street Journal article that I find the headline very intriguing. It says, the U.S., the United States, believes it doesn't need to show proof that Hawaii, is a spy threat. And I think part of the reason is that if they had to really go into the depths of probably what they, this is my speculation, if they have to go into the depths of what they really know, then it'll burn sources, it'll burn methodologies, it will burn ways in which they have figured out that this company is not on the up and up. So we know that the United States has asked for extradition of the woman that they're holding in Canada. I know that there is a lot of politics around that. I don't think if I was so inclined in having a tech company, I don't think I would be inclined to be in China anytime soon. Because they're going to be looking for someone to roll up and, you know, a tit-for-tat type of thing. But we know that because Huawei is a Chinese company, they have no choice but to comply with the demands of the Chinese government and its ruling Communist Party. You know, they have to. It's not like it is here in the United States. It just isn't. So companies have to listen. They have to respond. There's no getting out of it. you know, if you don't, the heavy hand of the government comes down. Of course, China says, hey, we have no rules. It forces its tech companies to install back doors. But, you know, Chinese government data sharing requirements apply only to networks inside China. But if they get so refined, why would they not be exported? You know, these companies have to comply with the Communist Party directives. So I understand why the U.S. believes it doesn't need to respond. You know, I can't imagine a situation where you would have to be under that much pressure. You know, if you were here in the United States and the government comes to you and tries to force your hand to try to install some sort of a back door, you know, that would make national headlines. It really would. You know, and that's why I'm always surprised about the extent Apple goes to having its hardware built there. But again, it's a lot of hardware, a lot of electronics are built in China. So, you know, Apple's not the exception there. There's a huge number of companies, but also Apple is providing design, and largely the software comes out of the United States that is loaded on its phones, as compared to Hawaii, where the software is built and designed in China, and it is also implemented in the hardware that has been fully designed inside the country. So time will tell here what's going to happen, but it just raises the stakes again that you have companies in China that have to follow Chinese directives, and U.S. companies are buying those products and services. And it's just opening up potential backdoors into, you know, key infrastructure systems that we have, including power, network telecommunications. It just goes on and on. The list of, you know, markets, probably there's not a single market that isn't touched, largely because of the manufacturing base being in China in a big way. So anyway, I'll have the link up to this article on the Wall Street Journal. At the same time, the folks at The Intercept have come out with a article talking about supply chain attacks on how everybody does it, and to basically the messy truth about infiltration and computer supply chains. We, of course, we remember back in October, Bloomberg published an alarming operative about the China's People Liberation Army secretly implanting microchips into motherboards made in China and sold by U.S.-based Supermicro. You know, that was all over the map. And even though a lot of people have poo-pooed and said that article was really bad in much of its reporting and that it was could not be believed, the folks from Intercept are like, well, why not? Because past history shows that this is not an unusual move. I think we've seen articles come out that's been publicly talked about from Snowden and stuff that he basically information that he published that was pretty damning. But at the same point, a country like the United States has been accused of doing this, why would China not be doing it as well? But it's a pretty good article on The Intercept, and lots of link and lots of stories. And it definitely talks about the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure that is vulnerable not only to the United States, but across the entire world at this point. And cyber threats are big. And I think we all can appreciate the type of impact that could be had if relations turn really nasty and they wanted to really hurt the U.S. market. They may be able to do that or continue to just steal more stuff. You know, maybe their idea isn't about attacking, but it's about stealing more intellectual property, which they are geniuses in doing and which they do a great deal of. And, you know, going to CES, we see every year teams of what appears to be Chinese running around with cameras and taking pictures and, you know, running through menus on items. I've talked about this many, many times, to basically reverse engineer stuff and doing IP theft. So two articles in a row today, one from the Wall Street Journal, one from The Intercept, that talk about the concerns to our hardware that we're buying that comes through the supply chain that's that originates in China and other countries. Verizon has been has dethroned T-Mobile in the wireless network ranking. So in a latest ranking by the folks at Open Signal, they said for the last 2 years, T-Mobile has been the dominant operator across our metrics, winning most of our speed and availability awards. But we see a new resurgent. Verizon, the tracking company, said in a new report that Verizon has either caught up or surpassed T-Mobile in nearly every one of their primary metrics. Although T-Mobile is right on their heels, in every metric Verizon won, T-Mobile is a very close second in their analysis. And I've been largely using my T-Mobile MiFi on this trip. I've had much better success with it than my Verizon MiFi, which is kind of curious. Maybe it's just the locations I've been have been more suited for T-Mobile, but definitely a lot more speed, a lot more functionality out of my T-Mobile device than my Verizon device this trip, which is kind of maybe surprising to some of you. Moving on here, Verizon also is cutting 7% of its staff in its failing Yahoo/AOL division. Not like any of us could really foresee any of this. You know, we were talking in the beginning, or I was talking to all of you in the beginning, that this move that Verizon made in the purchasing of Yahoo and AOL, I think the record will show if we went back and re-listened to those shows, I said this is a bad deal. Bad deal. And it turns out it is. It's been a bad deal for Verizon. These are two flops. These are two very, very bad investments. So the media division will cut. The media division cuts will affect about 800 employees, and it will apply broadly, involving the group's global organizations across all areas. As you may remember, Verizon purchased Yahoo for $4.48 billion in July of 2017 and bought AOL for $4.4 billion in June of 2015. And they were rolled into a subsidiary called Oath, which was renamed to Verizon Media this month. But again, I think we all could see that these were really too over the hill, long past their due companies, that, you know, was a bad investment. So Verizon said last month it would record a non-cash goodwill impairment charge of $4.6 billion, wiping out nearly all of the Yahoo AOL division's goodwill value. And Verizon Media's quarterly revenue was at $1.8 billion, down from $2 billion in quarter three of 2017. Now, $2 billion is still a big number, but if they're dumping employees with 11,000 additional employees, that's pretty crazy. Now, in December, it was also, downsizing the workforce through buyouts and so forth. But they say they're going to be able to scale this thing over time. I just don't believe it. I really, really don't. I think it's a throwing good money after bad. Only time will tell if they're able to pull this out. All right, there's a good, today is an anniversary of sorts. Steve Jobs presented the first Mac in 1984. That happened on today, January 24th, 1984, or the anniversary of that day. And the demo of that, 4 minutes and 50 second demo, is available online. And of course, Steve Jobs, not as smooth as he was back then. But nice to see this anniversary video and be reminded of the Macintosh when it was introduced. Senators have demanded an investigation into carrier location selling. They also want the FCC and FTC to force carriers to tell customers if and how their data was shared. So a group of 14 Democrats, including Kamala Harris and Christian Gillibrand, who are both running for their party's presidential nomination, and independent Senator Bernie Sanders, signed a letter addressed to the agencies. The report demonstrated not only this report that was happened earlier this year, demonstrating not only that the wireless carriers are still failing to protect their customers' private information, but also that location data can be purchased by stalkers, domestic abusers, and others. The senators wrote in a letter published on Senator Ron Wyden's site, they said it is clear that these wireless carriers have failed to regulate themselves or police the practices of its business partners, and in failing to do so, have needlessly exposed American consumers to serious harm. So they want an investigation on this. So we'll see where this leads. NASA has had to delay its Day of Remembrance for Space Heroes in lieu of the government shutdown. Also, the woman who was able to win a lawsuit against NASA to get her Apollo 11 moon rock bag back, which sold at auction this fall for about $1.8 million. She has now sued NASA, claiming that the agency damaged an improperly retain lunar material from an Apollo 11 moon rock collection bag that she had previously sued over, won title to, and then sold at auction. In her latest lawsuit with NASA and the actions of its lunar sample curator diminished the fair market value of her former property and caused her injury, humiliation, embarrassment, emotional stress, and anxiety. In the process, she is seeking an amount that is fair to cover her emotional distress, the damages to the artifact, and her legal expenses. So, bada bing, bada boom, back to court she goes to try to get some more money. We'll see if she has as good a luck as she had in the first round with NASA. Today, the U.S. Mint has launched a sale of coins celebrating Apollo 11. 50th anniversary. Almost a half century after humans first set foot on the moon, you can now buy a U.S. half dollar struck with an image of an astronaut boot print on the lunar surface. The Mint launched their 2019 coin program commemorating the 50th anniversary. The coins, which went on sale at noon today on the Mint's website, are available in gold, silver, and clad metal editions. I went and looked at the price. They range from, let's see here, let me reload it. You can get the clad metal ones for, let me go on the website here. So you can get the silver set for $51.95. What else? Uncirculated silver dollar for $51.95. You can get a proof silver dollar for $54.95. You can get Apollo 11 50th anniversary 2019 proof $5 gold coin for $418. So, definitely some, depends on what you go there with gold or silver. I don't see the clad, available. But they're available from a variety of mints, whether it be Philadelphia, San Francisco, West Point. The Philadelphia ones are actually selling out the fastest. I don't know if that's because it's the most popular, but the Denver ones are available as well. I might pick up one of these silver ones. It's kind of cool. I don't usually buy a lot of stuff from the U.S. Mint. I know my mom has in the past. I don't think we bought anything in recent years, but these are definitely probably going to sell very, very quickly to people that collect this type of stuff. All right, there's an article on Android Central talking about Twitter's mobile web app and how it's fantastic, lightweight, and some say it's better than using the actual Twitter app with Android, which I find surprising. I use the iOS Twitter app a lot, but good review on the web-based version of the Twitter app. So definitely have the link up in the show notes on that. If you're kind of sick of using the actual Twitter app, the mobile version seems to be pretty good. There's a CNET article that goes into how robots are going to be replacing humans in a quarter of a century by 2030. They're saying about 36 million jobs could be at risk of automation. And these are jobs that are highly repetitive. So they're saying that among the report's findings, 25% of U.S. workers will face what the report authors call high exposure to automation in the next few decades. And the most susceptible jobs, as far as the most susceptible jobs report says, that's no really field that won't, there's not really a field that will not be affected by automation. However, the most vulnerable jobs are those with predictable physical and cognitive tasks. So that's interesting. There are other factors like location to consider. Rural communities, for example, are more vulnerable, and there are demographic implications as well. So, I see like farming. A lot of automation could be done in the farming space over the years, which could replace, I think a lot of fellows would and ladies would prefer not to have to sit in the tractor as much, but a lot of automation is going on there as well. Also over on Lifehacker, they've got let's just put it this way. They're taking on YouTube videos that have hacks. You know, you see all these YouTube videos that talk about this is a cool hack to save yourself time or money or you know, this is something that you can do out of a spare Tic Tac box or something to that effect. And they're saying not all these hacks are that good. And they've got a list of hacks that are not... they kind of throw some spoilers on stuff. And I think if any of you watch any of these hacks, you thought, well, that was cool, but did I want to take 30 minutes to, you know, to recycle something to do a purpose that, you know, is that worth my time? Yeah, sure, it was cool, but honestly, was it worth it? But anyway, the link will be up in the show notes. I think this is an interesting attack of TAC. TAC for an article. All right, the MakeUseOf.com has a good list of the 7 best free calling apps. So this is our apps that you can use when you're on Wi-Fi. So unlimited calls and SMS with Wi-Fi. Topping off the list is TextNow, TextFree. Of course, WhatsApp is a big one out there. A lot of people are using Emo is another one that people are using. MAAII, Groove IP, Skype, of course. But, you know, I think if you think about it, WhatsApp is huge, huge throughout the world. A lot of people are using WhatsApp. TextNow, I'm not familiar with this one, but they've got a short video on it in the article here. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. TiVo, of course, announced at CES that it will be offering a new streaming app for the Roku, Fire TV, and Apple TV later this year, which will allow users to stream live and recorded shows in their home without investing in a separate hardware like a TiVo Mini. So, but according to the folks, according to an interview with some folks at TiVo, basically, those apps will be pretty limited, only offering streaming at 720p at 30 frames per second. The apps apparently look similar to TiVo's existing UI at a lower resolution. So they really want people to continue to buy their hardware, even though they're coming out with an app. I don't fully understand the way they're going about this. But if you're a TiVo fan and you're willing to just utilize 720p at 30 frames per second, this will be an option for you. But with everything going to much higher resolution at this point, I don't see how this is that effective. All right, Microsoft Office is now available on the Apple's Mac App Store. So I don't know if this is new. I guess this is new. The software giant originally promised to bring Office apps to the Mac App Store by the end of 2018. So now available is Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, OneNote, OneDrive, all included as part of the Office 365 app bundle. And of course, you'll need an Office 365 subscription to use Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. So Apple also welcomed Microsoft Edition to the Mac Store. And they're saying they're excited to see Microsoft 365 available. Again, Microsoft offering a one-month free trial of Office 365 for, it's $69.99 a year. Wow. Or Office 365 Home at $99 a year. Office 365 Home covers Office apps for up to 6 users. And I think that's the one that that I actually use. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that if you're still using Office. All right, 11 smart browser alternatives to Safari on iOS. Do people actually use Safari on iOS? I use Chrome and Firefox mostly. But the folks over at Computer World have a full list of 11 different apps that are out there, some you're not familiar with at all. Ghostery, Ghostery, is a privacy browser that they're recommending. Yandex browser is one. Onion browser is another. I wonder if it actually just tells you a bunch of jokes. Opera Mini, Endless Browser, Google Chrome, Brave Browser, Yuli Smart Web Browser, Dolphin Web Browser. Ugh, they have listed Microsoft Edge here. And it goes Firefox. So 11 smart browser alternatives to Safari for iOS. Apple, of course, likes to control everything in their, basically their design products and services. So Apple may start making its own batteries for iPhones and Macs. You know, their quest to control every part of its production line continues here. So Apple's hired Soon-ho An, a former Samsung executive who worked primarily on lithium-ion batteries and other battery-related technologies. I'm hoping that she wasn't involved in some of the Samsung Galaxy issues. He ran Samsung SDI, which, among other things, supplied Apple with device batteries a few years ago. Bloomberg also reports that Apple's in talks to buy cobalt directly from miners. Cobalt is needed to make these kinds of batteries. Both revelations suggest Apple will be looking to make its own batteries rather than source them from other companies. Not surprising. Squeeze every penny out of that sale that you can. Google has asked the Supreme Court to rule on when code can be copyrighted. After years of back and forth of legal rulings, Google is asking the Supreme Court to make the final call in its infamous dispute with Oracle. Today, the company announced it's filed a petition with the court asking the justice to determine the boundaries of copyright law. Now, they've been denied already some other cases by the Supreme Court. They've denied taking them on. And the case has led to 2 jury trials and several rulings. They've doled out wins and losses to both companies over the course of the 8 years. Last year, a favorable Oracle decision set Google up for potentially lose billions of dollars. And anyway, they're going to try to go to the Supreme Court with this, and we'll see where it goes. Our most unpopular company that I've talked about in a long time, MoviePass, is supposedly planning to relaunch an unlimited movie plan. No price has been announced, but once again, they're making change to its membership plan. You know, they have burned people way too much. There's simply no way that I could ever trust this company ever again. And if you're still using MoviePass and having it utilized effectively, I want to hear from you. Please tell me MoviePass is working for you, because I've yet in recent times gotten an email from anyone that listens to this show that said they're having good success with MoviePass. It was good while it lasted, but for me it was about 60 days before things went south. So, I think they're in trouble. I just don't trust this company. And there's a saying, and it's probably not politically correct to say this anymore, but they basically offer and take away, offer and take away, and offer and take away. There was a term we used for that as a kid that, I don't think it's politically correct to say it anymore. But anyway, that's what MoviePass is. They take and they give away. All right, over at the register, Under Armour and Virgin Galactic team up so tourists can stay on trend throughout the white knuckle ride into space. What's on the label? Do not wear in actual space. So Under Armour is become the exclusive technical spacewear partner for Richard Branson's Rocket Jockeys. Of course, Virgin Galactic's Spaceship 2 thundered 82.7 kilometers above Earth in December, reaching space for the first time. And it's unclear if the pilots were wearing Under Armour garments during their achievement, but we can hope they were clad in sturdy underwear of some description. So, anyway, Virgin's pilots have a few more flights to make before the bearded one will take to the skies. But Virgin Galactic describes the outfits as spacesuits. The Under Armour design clothing will only maximize personal performance so long as the wearer remains inside Spaceship 2 at all times. So, anyway, we're getting a little marketing game going on with the folks from Under Armour. Sadly, and of course, disclosure, I do own Intel stock, but Intel has missed on revenue and gives weak guidance. The stock has fallen after hours. So they've been on a hunt for new CEO for more than 6 months. The company has announced a new desktop PC chip in the quarter, but stocks fell about 8%. The numbers are essentially $1.28 per share, excluding certain items, versus $1.22 per share expected by analysis. Revenue of $18.66 billion versus $19.01 is expected by analyst, according to Refinitiv. So the statement company said that revenues went up 9% year over year in the quarter that ended December 29th. While quarterly numbers are always important, investors are also eagerly awaiting an update on their search for a CEO. So the business segment that generates the most revenue for Intel, the client computing group that includes PC chips, hit $9.82 billion in revenue in the fourth quarter, up 10%, 10% below the $10.01 billion consensus estimate among the analysts. So they missed their earnings mark. Don't worry, they're still doing okay. Do you know how to enable private browsing in your Say that five times real fast. So if you want to know how to enable private browsing in your browser, I got a good article, good prepper here from you, from the folks of MakeUseOf.com. And private browsing is something that I encourage you to use on a regular basis. And this is sessions where browsing history, cookies, and web caches are not stored. Other data such as passwords and autofill data are also not served during private browsing. And have the link up in the show notes on that. Verizon last year launched a wireless service that was called Visible. Visible without the eyes. And it's a low-cost option for wireless service. Visible is anything but. The budget wireless provider part of Verizon wants to change that. Visible launched last year with little fanfare. It offers you a decent deal as long as you don't mind artificially limited speeds. The service is only one option, a $40 plan, taxes included, that covers unlimited text, voice, wireless hotspot, and data, limited to 5 megs a second. Well, if I could get 5 megs a second sometimes out of their network, it would be worth it. But half the time, I can't get 5 megs out of their stupid network. But anyway, service has been operating quietly for the last few months. And the company says it's looking to begin financing iPhones for customers who wanted a new device. Separately, Visible also said it would support Android smartphones starting with the Galaxy S9 and S9 Plus. So it's limited phones. They started initially with the iPhone only. So we'll keep you aware of that as things goes on. You guys know I'm a big fan of the Dell XPS. Well, the Dell XPS 13 9380 has been reviewed. and very, very positive review. The camera's been moved to the top of the bezel versus down where it was, and they've crammed a lot of power into this bad boy. So if you're still looking for a nice camera, the Dell XPS 13 looks to be like a real winner here. What was the price on the one that they tested? Let me see. I don't think they listed it. Yeah, they didn't. So, $2,470, and it uses an i7. So, a pretty pricey laptop here. But again, big fan. I've got a Dell XPS with me on this trip. My original one that I've had for a number of years here. It's sitting with me, travels with me, goes to meetings. It's just a slick little machine. So, and mine's not even an i7. It's a, I think a, what is the, let me look here at the, I got to uncover a bunch of stuff sitting on top of it. It is a Core i5. So I've got an i5 model. And again, a few years old, but still really love the computer. Apple has laid off 200 employees working on self-driving cars. The project, the tech giant's Project Titan, has undergone restructuring under new leadership. Of course, it's a very secretive division. And but anyway, they're dismissing 200 employees this week. An Apple spokesman confirmed the layoffs to the publication, also revealed that some employees previously under Titan had been transferred to other divisions. So, Anyway, that's by the folks from Engadget. All right, finally tonight, Anchor has a new PowerCore Fusion 10,000 wall. It's a wall charger and battery pack, 20% off. What is the price on this bad boy? It's a 10,000 mAh, and it's capped at 15 watts. Has a USB-C port. Yeah, sadly, it's capped at 15 watts. So you won't be able to take advantage of power delivery speed, which blows. So maybe this is one we may want to pass on here. But I don't see a price, but it's supposedly 20% off. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Also, there's 5 hottest deal in Best Buy's 4-day sale. So Apple's iPad Pro 10.5 is on sale, off $250. Cavo Control Center Entertainment Hunting Universal Remote is at $60. Insignia's 6-quart multifunction pressure cooker is $70. Oh, it's only $30. You save $70. Sharp's 58-inch 4K Roku TV is at $350. Save $200. And Toshiba's 43-inch 1080p TV with Fire TV is available for $180. So some deals there from Best Buy. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. All right, that's going to bring me to the end of the show. Don't forget, we've got lots of great articles going on at Geek News Central. We have articles from Jen talking about YouTube TV going nationwide. We talk about Apple Pay coming to Target, Taco Bell, and more. Of course, we have articles from last week to talk about Facebook and some stuff that's been happening there. So, Wendy, definitely keep your eyes peeled on what's going on at geeknewscentral.com. The writers have slowed down a little bit as we head through the end of the month because we had so much CES coverage to begin with, but continued updates on the website as we go through. Don't think there was any emails that came in. Let me check that real quick before we bounce out of here. I'm actually in the wrong email bucket, so let's try this one, and let's see here. This is from Phil. Oh, yeah, we've got a problem with the Roku app, and I'm looking for someone to hire to fix it. So if you have any Roku experience or you want a shot at fixing a Roku app, I got a job for you. Email me here, and I'll get you connected. So if someone's looking for some freelance work, working on the Roku app, this would be the Tech Podcast app, the Blueberry app, those two. Let me know. I've definitely got a budget to make that happen. But yeah, we've got some issues. My manpower with my devs right now is tight. So definitely have some freelance work for someone that's looking for it. So If you know someone or if you've got some skills already, drop me a line. Happy to put you to work. All right, everyone, thanks for being with me today. I definitely appreciate it. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your comments. I will be back with you next Monday for the next show. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thanks for being part of the HANA. And thanking for your ongoing support of the sponsor and, of course, our those of you that are insiders that are contributing donations to the show. I definitely appreciate all of you very, very much. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on Geek News Central. Bye-bye.